After just a month in office, the Bush administration launched airstrikes against 5 sites in the Iraqi anti-aircraft network, 3 big radar systems, and 2 command and control facilities. The attacks were neither well-managed nor particularly successful. The U.S. military deemed the February 2001 strikes essential because the Iraqis were installing a fiber-optic communications network in their air defense system that would have greatly increased the threat to U.S. pilots operating in the southern no-fly zone. Anti-aircraft batteries in southern Iraq once had used their own radars to track U.S. and British jets, but radar-seeking missiles launched against those systems had proven so lethal that Iraqi troops had turned them off. Instead, the Iraqis were taking the innovative step of using powerful radars near Baghdad and outside the no-fly zone to track aircraft, and then plan to transmit the targeting data to the missile batteries in the south. Chinese workers were installing the network that would link up this new system. The raid had the odd and unexpected side effect of focusing the new administration less on Iraq and more on China. We're concerned about the apparent involvement of the Chinese with fiber optics in the Iraqi system, Condoleezza Rice said. Under the sanctions regime, there appears to be a problem. Iraq was almost an afterthought in that conference, with Bush saying he would conduct a review of Iraq policy in order to make the sanctions work. Indeed, that was the task that Powell took on during his first tour of the Mideast as Secretary of State. Containment and sanctions, he said, have worked, and Saddam Hussein wasn't a threat. Wolfowitz didn't agree with the policy, but he was in a minority even inside the Bush administration. As Powell traveled, Wolfowitz appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee, which was weighing his nomination to be Rumsfeld's deputy. Wolfowitz candidly said that he favored toppling Saddam Hussein. I think there's no question that the whole region would be a safer place. Iraq would be a much more successful country, and the American national interest would benefit greatly if there were a change in regime in Iraq, he testified. If there's a real option to do that, I would certainly think it's still worthwhile. There really wasn't a war party inside the Bush administration before 9/11, said Patrick Clawson, a Middle East expert who moved in Washington's neoconservative circles. Rather, he said, there really was just Wolfowitz pleading for more attention to Iraq, and Wolfowitz's former Pentagon aide, I. Lewis Scooter Libby, Cheney's chief of staff in the new administration, listening supportively. Clawson dismissed the allegation made later by former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill and others that the Bush administration came into office determined to invade Iraq. What O'Neill doesn't notice is that those who wanted to go to war lost, and those who supported smart sanctions won, he said. In the spring of 2001, he added, Rice, the new president's national security advisor, made it extremely clear to colleagues that they weren't going to do anything in Iraq. Wolfowitz and his few allies, mainly Libby and a few others in the office of the new vice president, traditionally not a powerful political base from which to operate, were stymied by Powell. Indeed, in the summer of 2001, it looked like Powell was winning the internal arguments that would shape the foreign policy of the new and inexperienced president. Powell's influence had been steadily growing, the New York Times' Bill Keller wrote later that year. Powell had negotiated a successful end to the confrontation with the Chinese, smoothed relations with Russia, and gotten the president engaged on Mideast peace negotiations. In all of this, the president was following the instincts of his Secretary of State, Keller wrote. The Washington Post's Jim Hoagland, one of the most hawkish columnists on Iraq, captured the unhappiness of those who wanted a more aggressive stance on Iraq. The new administration's open-minded review of Iraq policy, he warned, risks becoming a way of letting the mistakes of Bush 41 become the mistakes of Bush 43. Hoagland returned to the subject of the Iraq policy review in the summer of 2001, warning, by September, Bush needs to show that he knows where he is going on Iraq and the Middle East, and that he knows how he intends to get there.